Well, welcome once again to Voice of Reason Radio. Chris Honholtz and Richard Story joining you on January 16th, 2021. The year that basically said, 2020 got nothing on me. So, welcome to, again, Voice of Reason Radio. Thank you for joining us. Sorry about last week, folks. I'm just going to say that right up front. Wasn't even really in a position to drop a rerun. Things were just, well, let's just put it this way. I posted it on Facebook and Twitter, and well, for as long as I'll be allowed to be on there. Twitter's got me partially shadow banned. I'm not lying. But unfortunately, we've got a member of my extended family who is very dear to all of us, who's, well, let's just put it plainly, she's on hospice. And the last week plus has been very difficult for everybody in the family, including her two adult children who are now staying with her here in Nevada while this is going on. So I do apologize that we just weren't able to be on last week. That was a difficult weekend. That was a very difficult weekend. Things just kind of went south very quickly, and we just weren't able to get together. So I appreciate your prayers, appreciate your patience. I really hate starting off the year with a missed program already. But we are back this week. And Rich, I'd love to be able to say we could go into some light banter, but this year has already become insane. I don't know there's much light banter to give.
Well, we're at what, day 16?
Day 16 of the, and it's already become as bad as the whole last year.
Well, I guess that's just a matter of perspective. As usual, I'm better than I deserve, as Amen. All of us. And I'd like to point out, if you are a Christian conservative, or you claim to be a Christian, or you claim to be a conservative, remember this. You're not better than any of the progressive liberals or socialists or anyone else in the world. You're just better off if you're truly saved in Christ.
Amen.
And, you know, starting to show off on that note kind of just rolls over into what we'll be discussing tonight. And I know that we have several listeners that have basically become just beyond nauseated at political talk and the social justice wars and everything else, but we will be addressing some of that tonight, but we hopefully will also be providing some, call it, worst case scenario plans for down the road.
And we're not talking about being preppers.
To be doing. No, I'm talking biblical preparation and, you know, not going out in the middle of nowhere and hiding in your bunker with 1,400 rifles and a ton of ammunition.
Now, Rich, all of those were lost in a tragic boating accident. You got to remember that. We don't have those anymore.
Yeah. That's right. And I may or may not have a barrel buried somewhere in my backyard loaded with waterproof Bibles. I may or may not have done that.
We're not sure. We're not. It could have happened. It's speculative at best, you know. When we got to day six and the great horned buffalo boy stood in the rotunda of the Capitol, I think we all knew this was going to be a weird year.
Well, I was offended right off because several people jumped out of nowhere claiming this guy was a Viking. As a descendant of Vikings, let me tell you, that man in no way represents the true Viking way of life or the heritage or whatever word you want to put on it. That man in no way represents a Viking. So let's get that straightened out there. This was just some nut job painted up.
I still think the best one was the meme that somebody sent to Dr. White over at Alpha and Omega, and he shared it. And I honestly agree with Dr. White. I agree with Gabe Hughes. You don't stand and pray in the name of Brahma and the monotheistic God who is known by and so many other names, amen and a women, and don't expect God to go, excuse me? So,
I think I misunderstood you. I thought you were talking about the picture of the...
No, you're right.
Supposedly... okay.
You're right, you're right. Right. But the best meme with regard to that was the picture of the guy saying, praying in the name of Brahma, amen and a women, and then the picture beneath it is the great horned buffalo boy is standing there with a caption saying, who has summoned me from my slumber?
Also, I'd like to add this. I'm also descended from Cherokee Native Americans. So, in no way does that represent anything remotely considered to be Native American, Indian, whatever word you want to use. But,
I'm going to go one better. He doesn't even represent the male species. That man that man was put in a jail cell and would not eat because they would not give him organic food. Go grow up. Go get your binky. Go get your blankie. Go take a nap somewhere and grow up. I want to say something, but it would not be Christian, so I won't say it.
I could tell it almost slipped out.
It wasn't going to be a bad word, but it would have maybe been close to a minced oath. So I wanted to stop myself because I don't want to go out of my way and offend people. But that angers me. When that kind of stuff happens, and then everybody wants to say, "Oh, that's a Trump supporter."
Well, I have a question. When did this country lose its sense of humor? I mean, this generation today,
about 20 years ago,
I could see their heads literally exploding if they watched any episodes of Sanford and Son.
Oh my goodness!
All in the Family.
Yeah, you
know, it's like they wear emotions and everything else so broadly on their sleeves. I mean, it's almost to the point, if you fell out of your chair during this recording and I laughed, I'd be called a hypocrite or unloving because I laughed at you falling out of a chair. It doesn't mean that I don't love you. It just means my natural, you know, human reaction is to laugh. And
you've been criticized for calling yourself cripple.
Well, this is true.
I'm sorry, even Christians, we've lost it. We've lost our minds, which is really kind of the subject matter at play tonight, is just how far gone, and really, for intended purposes, how far gone our nation has become. So, yes, it's going to be one of those shows, folks, but there's a purpose, so bear with us. But you're right, we've lost our sense of humor because there's a manipulation of language. And, boy, the books that I've been reading, I'm beginning to understand. You ever been in one of those conversations where you know those were English words and you're sure that they said something, but you had no clue what it was? That's what's going on in our country right now, and it's intentional.
Well, the sad thing is you've got some individuals that are wide awake and understand what's going on and see the potential ramifications, that are perhaps more times than not older, that have studied history, have read and have lived through the 70s and other decades. And then you have on the other side individuals that still believe anything and everything that comes across their screen, whether it be their cell phone, their computer, their television, news, or whatever. Yeah. And sadly, I think there are probably more people that buy into the liberal health fallacy than ones that don't. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you speak, but I've got a small little analogy I'd like to make to try to clarify what I mean by the liberal health fallacy.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to use you and I as the examples. Okay. Chris, you may not know this, but you have a rat problem in your home. I may not have ever stepped in your home. I may not even be living or be anywhere near your home, but I know you have a rat problem. And of course, your response would be,
I don't have a rat problem.
Oh, but yes, you do. And I'm going to help you get rid of that rat problem that you don't realize you have. So,
well,
go
ahead. Sorry. I jumped in.
No, you go ahead.
I would just like to say, I mean, I'm fairly certain that if I had a rat problem, I would see rats and I would see rat droppings and I'd see evidence of the fact they're getting into things, and none of that's going on.
No, but they're really there. You just don't know it yet. You don't see it yet. So me, what I do, I go hire someone to release rats into your house. So now the rats start popping up, and of course, what would you say?
Well, now, okay, where they weren't here before, but I'm starting to see rats in my house.
All right. So I'm going to come help you get rid of the rats in your house. So after I've hired someone to put the rats there, now I'm going to hire someone to burn down your house to get rid of the rats.
Well, wait a minute. I don't want my house burned down.
Well, it's okay. We're going to pay and build you a $1 million home. Even though the home that we build may only be worth $100,000, we're going to spend $1 million to rebuild your home so you have somewhere to live. So we can put you back into the life that you're used to. We're going to, build you a home. We're going to provide for you. We're going to spend $1 million, but your house will only be worth about $100,000.
That doesn't
don't
seem...
worry about it.
Okay, oh, yeah. I'm listening, but this doesn't seem logical.
Well, don't worry about where that other $900,000 goes. That went to help build your home. Your house is just not worth the $100,000. So now I can come back and say, well, you had a rat problem. I got rid of your rat problem. You needed a home. I provided you a home. Half truth in all of that, but a half truth is still a lie. The fact that I caused the rats, the fact that I caused your home to burn down, the fact that I used rebuilding your home to pad my own pocket and to pay my cronies to build your $1 million home that's worth $100,000. See, I helped you.
And that really should be the reaction of everybody looking at this current state of affairs in our country right now.
But does that not describe everything?
Yes,
well,
absolutely. I mean, let's just look at what happened in the last year. In 2020, we had people who insisted that there was a massive racism problem in our nation, who took to the streets and destroyed everything in sight, who were lauded and applauded by the news media, by sports figures, and by politicians. And for the most part, the average American is not a racist. They work well with others. They get along well with others. And they contribute to the general well-being of their nation. And yet, everything is destroyed and blamed on one person or group of people. And the people who are the ones that are going to be the saviors of all this are the ones who have promoted all of this.
And basically, in that scenario that we were discussing, what it comes down to is I pay you to burn down your own home while you're cheering over the fact that it is burning to the ground.
Yeah. And that's really the sad part about it. We've talked about on the program multiple times now, just talking about, okay, and this is where we're going to get in trouble because we said a rat problem. But take what we've talked about on this show, and we've shared what other programs have put out with regard to things like critical race theory. And it's that exact issue. Systemic racism is built into the system. Everybody is a racist, the system is racist, and when you ask for evidence of that, you're called a racist. That's the proof of your being racism. I mean, that mind-numbing, absolute, gut-wrenching book, White Fragility, that was its premise. And the problem is that if you try to point out the problem, like just in that exchange that we're doing, I don't have any rats. Oh, you haven't seen them yet. Here, let me show you. And then you bring in the problem. Now, you've got people who are insistent that we are a culture that is absolutely systemically oppressive to certain groups. But when you ask for evidence of it, the evidence isn't, here's the actual actions and data and statistics. Rather, it's tends to be, if it is data, it tends to be cherry picked and removed, because what you'll say, okay, go back to, this was the exchange I had with Tabidi Anyabwile way back when, well, before it got to as bad as he is now. And he was talking about the disparate number of contacts that were going on in Ferguson, Missouri when all that went down. Does anybody remember Ferguson? And I remember thinking, okay, disparate amount of contacts. What does that mean? Well, his point was, as was many people, well, if the minorities in that community are being contacted more often, if there's that disparate amount of contact, that proves racism. Well, that's a set of numbers without a context. And so you just throw the numbers out there and then you don't apply a context. And I've always tried to explain this when I'm talking to people. If you have law enforcement agency responding to calls for service and a particular area has more calls for service, and I'm not describing anybody ethnically, by the way. I'm just saying if you have a particular area that has more calls for service than anywhere else, where are you going to put the bulk of your police officers? You want to be able to respond in a timely manner. You know, where I live in Northern Nevada, there's a ambulance company called REMSA, and they actually strategically place their ambulances around the cities, of Reno and Sparks, all throughout Washoe County, so that you're not responding from the hospital, you're not responding from a warehouse, you're responding from a street corner. And so they will put them all out so they can respond in a timely manner, and then they shift them as one goes into service. So you want officers to respond in a timely manner. So you're going to have more officers in an area where there's more calls for service. If there's more calls for service, if you're more officers there, who are you going to have more contact with? The residents of that community. There's your context. Context explains it, but if you have an agenda, if you have a goal in mind and you just want to blame it, you rip the context out. And that's the problem, is that if you use data, a lot of times it's without context, which we saw with the whole COVID crisis, is so much of it is lacking context. So if it's data, it's typically without context. And if you provide context, you're a racist. And then if you aren't using data, then what's being used is lived experience. Well, lived experience may be accurate. It may be lacking context. You may think you were stopped because you're a particular ethnic group or a particular gender, or you may have just been stopped because you were the one speeding and you just don't like the fact that they stopped you again because you have a lead foot. And so you say, I was contacted because I was this particular person. Or you match the description of someone in a call. And guess what? When calls go out, they tend to be fairly generic. White male, 6 foot, 250 pounds, t-shirt, blue jeans. How many guys walking down the street might match that? You know, apply that to another ethnic group. You're gonna have police making contact. There's context oftentimes, but context is ignored because context destroys the credibility of the idea that you have that it's a race problem. And so just like you're talking about, Rich, it's the placing of the quote evidence into the home by someone who wants you to believe that there is a rat problem in the house. And that's what we see going on in our nation, is that you have people who are insisting that there are certain problems going on in this nation that are systemic, certain issues that, you know, that capitalism is evil, there's hoarding of wealth, and you redefined what those terms mean. And then you set people in a frenzied anger out on the streets and say, now go take care of it.
I don't know if you wanted to add to that, but I was going to transition over briefly to how we got to where we're at now.
No, but by all means, let's keep going, because I think at this point everybody who listens to the program is probably of the same mind when we think about those examples. But yeah, please, by all means.
Okay. Well, as individuals, for the most part, when I say individuals, I'm talking citizens of the United States. Most people view this country like a cake. They want that piece of cake, and they enjoy eating it. Very few people ask, what's in this cake? And even fewer ask, what is the origin of the ingredients that went to making the cake? Meaning, where did the vanilla come from? How was it harvested? What was the culture like or is like in that area? You know, basically, everyone wants that surface satisfaction, but very few are willing to dig and research everything that goes on behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what in the world does that have to do with what we're talking about? Well, one way that we've gotten to where we are today is through media propaganda. Now, that is not, media propaganda is nothing new. The United States used movies and news from the time that movie theaters came into existence, from the time radio was the main source of entertainment in the home, till when televisions became in the home. During World War I and World War II, the media cooperated with the U.S. government in supporting the war effort, especially during World War II, when it came to bond drives, when it came to supporting the troops, when it came to rallying the United States against the enemies all over the world that were trying to destroy democracy. That went forward into the 50s. When we get to the 60s, we start to see where the split happened, where some media were still supporting the government, and you had some media outlets that were condemning what the government was doing in Vietnam. And that's when we started seeing the riots and the protests in the 60s on into the 70s. We saw a resurgence of media supporting the United States during 9/11. Continuing forward, over the last several decades, those media and news outlets have been predominantly purchased by liberal individuals or liberal organizations to where we're today. Every major news outlet in the United States is owned by a liberal corporation, whether it be ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, all the news channels, and even Fox. When Disney purchased Fox, you know, the statement was made that we would not interfere with Fox News. Well, that was a lie. That was a lie. So now we have a completely progressive liberal dominance when it comes to media, when it comes to the news, even when it comes to the entertainment. Part of some of my research, I call it cultural studies, is basically watching some of the secular television shows that are put out today and compare them to what was put out 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. If you want to watch a prophetic television show that basically told what was going to happen, watch every season of Last Man Standing.
Yeah.
If people look at the book 1984 as somewhat of a prophetic type mm-hmm. analogy of what happened, watch Last Man Standing and tell me that that was not, if you want to use the term prophetic, if that was not a prophetic television show about what was going to happen. When Obama was elected president, that's when all of the chaos that we're discussing, that's when it started. Whether you want to admit it or not, that is when it started. Now, where are we at today? Well, we've got complete liberal control of all the news outlets, for the most part, and definitely all the television news outlets and even the channels that put out television programs. Over the course of the last 2 years, I've seen more and more and more of the systemic racism talk in television shows, more of the Black Lives Matter type discussions in television shows, anti-conservative rhetoric in television shows, anti-biblical statements in television shows. They are attempting to normalize homosexuality for pastors. I watched a television show the other day where that was the main tenet of what was going on, and the show ended with them talking about they hoped that the congregation would take the pastor back. So, you know, we both know that that is not a biblical standard. You cannot be a homosexual pastor. But media and propaganda influences people's way of thinking more than anything else. And I forget who said it, that if you control the media, you control the way the mm-hmm. country thinks. And that is so true. And that's what we've seen go on. Sadly, I think the vast majority of Americans actually truly believe everything they see and read that's being put out by these quote-unquote journalists.
Yeah.
Journalism is dead. Used to, journalists wanted the truth regardless of which side it benefited. Today, it's all just one-slanted, one-sided propaganda meant to make the other side look bad and make the liberals and the Democrats look good. And that's what we have experienced over the last, at least hard, the last 3 years.
Yeah.
When you have every news outlet anti-conservative, anti-president, and you even have, in this case, Republican and Democrats both turning against the sitting president, my first thought is, well, that president must be doing something right to have both parties hate him so bad and want him out. You know, the worst thing to me is a president that is, you know, completely liked by both mm-hmm. sides. I think a president, when I see a president that makes both sides uncomfortable, to me that tells me that he's doing something right, because if people within his own party are turning against him, that means he's not flowing along with the status quo.
Yeah.
Now, what of any of that would you pick apart and disagree with?
I don't actually disagree with any of it. And the thing that's really interesting when you start to consider how things have been influenced and the directions that we've gone, media is a huge component of that, as is our education system, as is those who are involved in developing the curriculums by which teachers and teacher colleges are built. The media, not just the media in terms of news, but the media industry in terms of music, in terms of film and television, the arts, so to speak, how much influence that has had, and all of it seemingly pointing in one particular direction, and that is the idea that we that individualism is and American exceptionalism and personal responsibility, capitalism, Western culture, all of it is been demonized, and it's been little chipping away at the foundations for decades upon decades now. I mean, when you look at, you know, just for the education aspect, well over 100 years ago when we started developing teacher colleges and you started requiring, you know, master's degrees and stuff to be able to be involved in education, there was a goal intended, and it was the individuals who came out of the Frankfurt School who developed things like dialectic teaching, which is basically groupthink teaching. You know, didactic is there's a higher authority. 1 + 1 = 2, because 1 + 1 is something outside of me. I can't decide that 1 + 1 = 2. Dialectic teaching is groupthink, and how you can, over a successive series of changes, get people to think a different way. And so that's dialectic teaching. That became part of the education process to develop teachers in schools. And people, and this is not to attack teachers, because there are, I think, there are really good teachers out there, but this is what they've been taught. And as with each successive generation, it's built upon that. And you have the teacher unions, which is a whole other story in itself. But you have this chipping away at the foundations for a very long period of time. And then under, as you said, under the previous president, because right now we still have a current sitting president. It may be changing next week, but whether you like it or not, currently it's still Donald Trump. So the previous president under the Obama administration, he basically pulled back the veil of everything that had been going on behind the scenes for decades and poured gasoline on the fires that had been burning that we just didn't see. And everything blew up into one giant flame. And it was, it's from that moment on, when you open that floodgate, you know, or when you open Pandora's box, you're not getting everything back in. It's out now. It's out in the light, and it's not going to go back in. And so there's been so much effort at undermining the foundations of what has been the Western culture mindset in America, you know, which helped develop what America is. That's been going on for a very, very long time. And the media, as you said, they've played a very big part in that. And what's really scary, and I was thinking about this the other day, if you want a book that's going to take you a long time to get through, because it's taking me a while, read Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. I'm only maybe 12, 13% into it. And I know that because that's what it says on the Kindle. But I've been reading as Hitler's early life, how he developed his beliefs, and then his rise to power. And it's really funny because, Rich, you and I, we're called literally Hitler. If we believe that Donald Trump's a good president, if we believe that Western civilization is a good thing, that the Constitution, the belief system that gave us the freedoms that we have, that we believe the Founding Fathers were intelligent men who did a good job putting together a government that would allow for freedom and self-government, we're literally Hitler, okay? Because we believe in nationalism. We believe in a strong national America. And so we're literally Hitler. We're literally the Nazis, because in the minds of the leftists that want to kind of control things, no, government is to provide. Government isn't there to protect and keep us safe so that we can govern ourselves. Government is the provider, and we want to just, you know, we don't want to play well with others. We just want our control, and that's what Hitler did. Except that if you watch, there is one aspect, and this is where I'll get in a little bit of trouble with some folks. There's one aspect that as conservatives we have to be cautious about. The one thing that Hitler really did do well was play upon the desire of the German people to restore the strong national heritage of Germany. And he played upon that really well, because it wasn't just desiring for the country to be restored and to have pride in itself again and be able to take care of itself. Rather, Hitler wanted Germany to be a superpower, to dominate and to literally be in control of all these various lands and to be a dominating force in the world. He played upon that and built it up to the point where he got people to do things that they never should have done. Now, that's a danger that if we aren't careful as conservatives, when we believe in nationalism in meaning that we want our to take care of our nation first. If we get too ramped up, too fired up, we can be led astray. It happened in Germany, and there were a lot of pieces, yes, but it's a danger. So that's one thing that he did do that, if for a conservative, nationalism is something that we care about. But there's a difference, big difference, between a genuine constitutional conservative and Hitler. Constitutional conservative says, I want a small government and I want government out of my life, and I don't want them dominating and providing for me and telling me how to live. But Hitler believed in dictatorship. Hitler believed from a top-down leadership position, and he wanted to tell people and lead Germany and make Germans do all the things that he wanted them to. He wanted absolute loyalty without any question. So in that regard, no, we're not even close to being, Hitler. But what is actually and just one more thing, what is actually much closer to Hitler is the American left, because they do things that Hitler did. Hitler's brown shirts, and I'm not going to try to say the German names because I would destroy them. The SA that was called the SA, which the SS was under, by the way. We always hear of the SS, but SS started under the SA. The brown shirts, their job was to go to people who were having speeches that weren't consistent with the Nazi views, and they were to disrupt, cause riots. They did physical intimidation. They hurt people. They attacked people. That was the purpose of the SA. They were the disruption folks. They were the ones who were causing the violence in the streets. Does that sound familiar? Antifa, BLM. Go ahead.
The strange thing is, once he accomplished that, if I remember my history correctly, most of the brown shirts were executed, and yes, that gave
rise
to the Gestapo.
Yes, I can get to that in a sec. But yeah, you're absolutely correct. That actually did happen. Hitler also sought to dominate the control of information. The Nazi Party bought newspapers and started putting out their own propaganda, and they tried to control the information. The Reichstag fire, this terrible, tragic event that happened. It is believed that it was the Nazi Party who did it. We can't prove it because the documentation was destroyed, but it was not the people that they was blamed on. It wasn't the communists. You know, we do know that much. And so he used the Reichstag fire to turn people against the Communist Party that was in Germany. He hated Marxism. He hated communism. So he used the Reichstag fire as an attempt to blame and turn national interest against it. Does that sound familiar? You know, the constant control of the narrative regarding law enforcement, regarding our military, regarding incidents that occur. How about the so-called insurrection? That once everybody got inside, what did they do? That nobody went after anybody. They took selfies of each other and they stole the podium, and Buffalo Boy posed on the podium. I mean, that was an insurrection, really. Yet it was used to blame the sitting president. These are the things that Hitler did in his rise to power. And then what you're talking about, the destruction of the SA, that was called the Purge. The SA, the head of the SA wanted that the SA to become the standing army. Excuse me. The army was like, yeah, not a chance. And Hitler knew that if he lost the army, he'd lose his ability as chancellor to push forward what he wanted to do. So he authorized the purge. How it all went down and who made what decisions, again, lost to history because the records were destroyed. But it was believed that the purge was done to appease the army so that he could maintain his power base. And once he got them on his side and President Hindenburg died, he did what was absolutely unconstitutional under the German Constitution, which was he merged the office of Chancellor and President to become the Führer. And then he made the army and everybody else sign a complete oath of loyalty to him.
More aspect.
Yeah.
In doing all that, he also dominated and controlled the churches in Germany.
And that was that. Go ahead.
And he forced them to support everything that he was putting out, everything that he was doing. It was demanded of the church in Germany during that time that they support his efforts. And the sad thing is, most of them not only supported it, they actually believed mm-hmm. in what Hitler was doing.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, if you read Richard Wurmbrand's book, Tortured for Christ, he starts with that because he was a pastor in Germany. And then later, the bulk of his book talks about what happens in the communist under communist control. But he talked about that. Richard Wurmbrand actually watched that happen and actually opposed the Christians pastors who said, "Well, we need to support Hitler." What do we got going on in evangelicalism today? That's something we'll actually probably talk about next week. We've got in evangelicalism people supporting a soon to be president. Because Trump say bad things on Twitter, and who are just giddy over Trump losing Russell Moore, and are more than happy to support. And then they say their little things like, well, Biden says he's going to do these things with the locker rooms for the transgenders. We need to oppose that. Oh, that was said a year ago during the campaign. They weren't saying anything about it back then. They were very supportive of anything that would take the current sitting president down. And we've got people in evangelicalism doing that today. But my point in all of this is that over the last year, we have watched people in this nation who claim to be in working for the best interests of our nation using the Nazi playbook. And then turning and saying, we're the Nazis.
Well, I see that, but also and that's what I was going to ask you next, was, you know, everything that's gone on, not only last year, but in the last 10 years, it didn't just happen. Mm-mm. There are actually step-by-step instructions on the internet that are based on both CIA declassified files, based on other documents that the United States have used in other countries when it comes to trying to depose a current dictator. They are on the internet.
Yeah.
And reading some of this information, you can see, okay, this is exactly what has been going on in the United States for the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily scary, but, you know, it's just right there in black and white. You know, people refer to the book 1984 as a framework for what they see going on. Well, that book was fiction. What I'm talking about is not fiction. It is truth. It is hard fact. I had shared some of this with Chris this week, is actually as much as you want to read, stacks of files from declassified CIA files, mm-hmm. that are how-to instructions basically on how to overthrow a government, mm-hmm. how to sabotage, all these other things. And in my view, what has gone on is the hippies and the liberals of the 60s grew up, gained control and power and money, now own all the media outlets and everything else. And somewhere behind the scenes, someone is orchestrating everything that's gone on. Because if you read these how-to manuals, I mean, it's laid out there step by step, and you can see it in society. You can see it in what's going on. But there's a book that I would encourage everyone to read. Well, maybe not everyone, but a lot of you. It's not a Christian book, and I very rarely suggest reading something that's not a Christian. But this one hits home really hard, and it really, really will open your eyes. The name of the book is How to Overthrow a Government, an Historical and Hypothetical Survey of Revolution, Civil War, and Sedition. If you took that book and used it as a how-to manual and applied it to everything we've seen go on in the last 10 years, you would just sit back and go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on any search engine and type how to overthrow a government. Not only will you find books that will explain it to you, there are literally thousands of articles that go into it. Some of them, like the one I shared with Chris, are actually slanted in a anti-Western, anti-United States wording, but the methodology mentioned in these articles hit the nail on the head as to mm-hmm. what we see going on. One of the strong points is controlling the media,
mm-hmm.
forcing economic disaster. You know, have someone step up and be the one that says, I'll help you, and then provide a means out of what's been going on. I mean, is that not what we've seen happen over the last year?
Oh, absolutely. And lest anybody start freaking out, we're not talking the Left Behind book series, so we're not talking Antichrist stuff here. So chill. But you're right. I mean, the article you sent me from portside.org, which was back in 2019, I mean, the guy who wrote it, total hit piece against the Trump administration. Absolute hit piece. But it shows that he understood the steps that are necessary for destabilization of a government. And his article is really kind of a lot of taking world events that happened and then giving them a sinister twist to them and insisting that Western culture was trying to take down, especially the United States, was trying to take down Venezuela. Now, if y'all remember Venezuela destroyed itself by being a socialist a nation, and it was actually, you know, he even references that under the Obama administration, what Venezuela was doing was actually considered a threat to the United States. But he does show that he understands what it means to destabilize a nation. He understands this concept to including things like who controls the narrative, which is he says the media does, you know, and then twists it to kind of attack the United States, of course. But step number 10, who's the real president? Now, I don't know if y'all remember what happened, but as Venezuela was crashing down around itself, you had the, you know, president at the time, and then you had, you know, another person come, you know, that the United States said, no, he's the actual president. We're going to support this guy, not the guy that destroyed the country. And he said, you know, he talks about this, the person that we supported, Juan Guaido, and, you know, said, because America supported and created doubt over who was the president, that created havoc. Making the economy scream, as he points it in step 11, going to war step 12. Yeah.
Let me interrupt you real quick.
Yeah.
I had to go back and look it up. The author of the book I mentioned, How to Overthrow a Government, it was written by Roderick Edwards. And if I remember correctly, he was a political science major and has done a lot of research in the area of political science and political upheaval in different parts of the world. So I just want to kind of put that out there in the event someone wanted to look it up and actually go read it. But like I said, it really, it was pretty impactful, and it was almost like, okay, I see so much of this going on, but please continue with what you were saying. And I apologize for
No. I just going to say my point in all this is, even though this particular article that you sent me, the guy was definitely anti-Western, anti-United States, total pro-Venezuela, pro-socialism, it shows that he understands the concept of what it takes to destabilize a government, and he used it as a weapon against, you know, the American, United States government, but he understood it. So the concept is known. It's not like we're pulling this out of a conspiracy theory. This is a guy who was trying to claim that's what we were doing with Venezuela. And he starts the article by saying back in the day with Nixon and Kissinger that's what they did with Chile in 1973. And he says that's what we did back then. So this idea of destabilization, how you take control, is understood and is known. It's out there. It's a used and understood practice. And going back to what you started with, the control of the media, what is the narrative that we hear 24/7? Trump evil, conservatives bad, Christians don't love.
Question.
Go ahead.
During the course of the last year, while we were hearing all of that, what is it that you very rarely ever heard mentioned that was news from other countries, international news? What was this country doing? What was that country doing? Mm-hmm. And I had forgotten, I used to do this quite often. My wife reminded me a couple of weeks ago, and I've gone back to doing it again. But you can go on the internet and find international newspapers. You can find newspapers and news reporting from all over the world. And more times than not, you can find it in English. And I would suggest go and look up some of these international newspapers, read what is being written in some other countries, not only about the United States, but read what's going on in their areas and other parts of the world. That's something that the media has completely blacked out over the last year. We never hear reports of what China's doing. Guess what? China has been working on their military programs. They've been beefing it up. They've been increasing their number of troops. They've been expanding their Navy. They've been doing all these, you know, game warfare type things. A lot of stuff is going on in the rest of the world besides the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Information used to actually get through our news outlets, but over the course of the last year, it's all been campaigning. You know, there's been no reports of potential threats from this country or that country, or, you know, North Korea have started back up with this program or that program. And guess what? I read an article the other day. It originated in Beijing, of all places, and it was written in English. And reading that, they look at the United States right now as completely weak. They have zero respect for Biden. They actually are loving what's going on. They are cheering the fact that Trump will no longer be the president. And I have a question for you. When our country's enemies are applauding the election of a particular individual as president, when they are cheering and just ecstatically happy over, say, Trump stepping down, that should wake you up and tell you something is dramatically wrong with that particular person that's been elected as president. When the country's enemies endorse that person and have no respect for him and want him as the leader of this country, people should really wake up and take notice when things like that are going on. But most people do not read or listen or search for these news outlets from other countries. More times than not, we just rely on Twitter and Facebook and whatever comes across our television screen.
Well, and that's true. I think one of the biggest problems is that the control of information is what has, I think, over the last year been so evident. And we're going to get to, I mean, it's, we're coming up on our hour here, and we're going to, you know, wrap it up here pretty quick. But the control of information has been vital. And we saw that played out in the last several or last couple weeks, how Twitter and Facebook, I mean, back in, you sent me one article, it was back in June of 2020, when Facebook lost $60 billion because they didn't want to control Trump's information being put out on his official page. You know, Zuckerberg was like, "Yeah, I don't want to get on that." And the advertisers and everybody else was like, "You better start controlling this hate speech, or we're out of here." Here we fast forward, you know, 7-8 months later, you've got Twitter and Facebook kicking him off. And another article you sent me today, and I actually have seen this video of Jack Dorsey, the head of Twitter, saying it's not just going to be Trump. We're focused on the one account right now, but it's going to be broader. We're going to be going after more stuff. And his representatives have said, "Oh, well, regarding that video, he's got a whole Twitter thread that talks about that, that clarifies it." Yeah, what he says is, "Well, we still think it was the right thing to do, but it did set a dangerous precedent, and we got to start thinking about what that means. And so we're gonna help create this basically independent agency that all social media should need to go through, and we'll be a client of it too." Oh, baloney. He's not going to be a client of something he helped create. He's going to create the loopholes that Twitter will always operate under.
One key thing in all of this is focus on the why with Facebook. $60 billion in lost advertisement revenue. We're not talking $60 billion loss in stocks. We're talking actual hard money. And sadly, we've reached the point to where all of these corporations have turned super liberal, super progressive. And a company like Facebook, when push comes to shove, they don't care about politics. All they care about is the bottom line.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And I think that's one reason. I think that's why you saw the shift in Facebook's policies. They had all these people pulling out, all these big money advertisers, and they were dictating to Facebook, do this or else. Well, Facebook said no, so they pulled all their advertising, and you know, who knows how much money Facebook actually lost during the course of that. But this go-round, nobody was willing to lose a dime. They just went ahead and pandered and did what they were told by their advertisers because they didn't want to lose any money. And that's ultimately what's going to be the driving force behind a lot of this is companies like Twitter and Facebook and Google, they rely on advertising dollars to make their money. So who are they going to bow down to?
Yeah.
The ones with the money or the people that actually use the platforms?
Well, and on top of that, you also have a power issue in this as well. Why would corporations care whether or not Trump was mean in what he says? All right. There is a concerted effort. We can see this from media, from the news media, as you talked about. through the corporate halls, or you know, the corporate boardrooms, social media, and in government to push a certain direction. Why? Power and control. If you control the flow of information, if you control the narrative, you control the people. You know, it's attributed to Hitler to say, if you tell a lie loud enough and often enough, the people will believe it. Now, I don't know if that's actually from him, but that is true. The bigger the lie, the more likely people will believe it. And if you have enough people controlling the flow of information, you can control the direction that those people will go. And that is what's going on with social media, with the 24/7 news cycle, with what we see and hear in music, arts, television, movies, sports. I mean, think about it. Why is ESPN now involved in cultural commentary? Why are they having political comment? They're a sports network. Because you're controlling the flow of information. And if you control the flow of information, you control the people. Why did Parlay get shut down? Why did Apple, why did Google Play take their app off of there? Why did Amazon Web Services take them off their servers? Because you had someone, and Gab is another social media alternative. They went through this 4 years ago. I actually kind of remember this. They went through this about 4 years ago. You had a network that was not willing to do things the way the elites were telling them to do it. They wanted to have actual freedom of speech. They didn't want somebody else telling them how to run their network. And they got taken down. And we're still waiting to hear if Parlay is able to get on other web service and servers and get back up. That's the plan, is what we've been told. No idea if that's going to happen.
This is kind of a sidetrack a little bit, but that goes back to the old saying, you get what you pay for. All these platforms are free for the users, but they are sponsored by corporations. It makes me wonder if a network, say like Gab, if they charged a small monthly fee and relied on that revenue source instead of advertising, if things might not be a little bit different than what we see in the current
status quo. That is actually what we're starting to see. Networks like Gab have a paid service that you can pay for where you give more access to their site. I believe it's Minds, M-I-N-D-S, is also got a paid service where if you pay into it, you can gain more, you can have more access. So there are more of these out there, but you're right. We have gotten used to, I've had a discussion more than once with people that I know, family members and stuff, who complain about an ad on a game app that they'll download, for example. Well, that ad is there to either get you to keep the app for free, because if you go check out the ads, that gives them revenue to keep the app running. Or you pay the $3 or $5 for the app and you don't have any ads. And it's like, well, it should be free. Well, it is free, but you have to deal with the ads. Well, the ads aren't fair. Well, that's the back and forth discussion that I have with people sometimes. You're right. You get what you pay for. And if we have not paid for this, but it's become such a big part of our lives that there was some guy throwing kind of a hissy fit on Twitter just I think yesterday. It's like, well, I've been trying to get on to Gab and they're still I can't upload pictures, they're still so slow. Dude, you've got people having a mass exodus going to what was a small alternative site, and they're having to upgrade as fast as they can to fill it in. How about you throw them some money if you want to have a fit about it, you know? So you're right. You know that it's, you're trying to build up the network. But here's the funny thing: we have been told, even by fellow Christians, by the way, well, if they don't like it, they can just go build their own network. Well, now we've discovered how well that works for you. Why? Because you got kicked off the app services, you got kicked off a server network, and now if you want to exist, you have to build your own. And good luck getting the things that you need and getting the support that you need, because everybody's used to the free stuff, and they know that. So this is a issue about controlling thought, controlling narrative, controlling speech. So that's why here we are in 2021 with an election that has tons of question marks about it, but nobody will investigate. People who are driving a narrative to say that if you don't support what's coming out of the media and what's coming out of certain politicians and certain people, that you're the problem, you're the Nazi, you're the fascist. Ignore the fact that history says we're the ones that are actually doing those things. We're the fascists. We're the Nazis. Ignore that. We're telling you, and we're controlling the information. And as we are seeing with people like Jack Dorsey, if you continue to say that, and like I said earlier, I think I said this earlier, I'm on a partial shadow ban, by the way, I've learned. By the way, if you don't want a partial shadow ban, probably don't tell Twitter to their face they're the thought police. That hasn't always worked well for me. but I did, and now I'm on a partial shadow ban. But you're going to have people like Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg and others saying, we get to decide whether or not what you're saying is correct. You've got a lieutenant governor in Pennsylvania who has no concept of what free speech is, because he says, well, Trump was saying we in Pennsylvania tried to steal the election, and that was a lie, and that's not protected speech. Technically, yes, it is. Okay? He spoke out against your government and said that what you did was wrong. It's protected speech, whether you think he's lying or not. It's protected. He has that right. Okay? It is a protected speech. But we have people today who don't understand what that means. And it's because they've been fed a diet 24/7 of one narrative. And it is a multi-pronged effort to make that happen. So with all that in mind, Rich, we actually have to make a biblical point in all of this, because we've spent almost an hour talking politics.
Two biblical points I'd like to make that will help not only yourself, your family, and this nation more than anything else. One thing I've been trying to use social media for lately and to help encourage brothers and sisters is pray kingdom-minded, meaning don't just be reactionary in your prayers, mm-hmm. just praying at that moment when someone needs help or a family member needs help. But read your Bible. Pray that the Lord bless you with the increased fruit of the Spirit. Go through the Psalms. Go through the Gospels. Go through all of the Bible. And pray, as Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. How many of us actually sit down and go through and try to plan what we're going to pray, much less actually pray to be blessed with things like humility, love, compassion, the things the Bible speaks of that are fruit of the Spirit. Pray to be strengthened against the temptation of the things of the flesh, envy, strife, lying, all of those things that are mentioned, I think, in Galatians. We need to be not only living for God's glory, we need to be praying that the Lord grant us not only the will, but the ability to live as he commanded. We will fail at it, but God will be glorified in the fact that we are submitting ourselves to him and his authority in prayer, and be out and be proclaiming the gospel, share gospel tracts, share or proclaim the gospel and evangelize with those around you. You know, go online and share gospel tracts. There are so many different ways. And from a more cultural perspective, at the moment, we still have laws and rights as Christians and conservatives in this country. There's nothing wrong with pursuing peaceful legal action in these pursuits, just like Paul did. He when he was arrested in Jerusalem, when they had him stretched out and about to whip him, he asked, was it lawful for them to bind a Roman citizen? Well, he was appealing to his legal rights as a Roman citizen. There's nothing wrong with us doing that, as long as we are glorifying God in the endeavor and not resorting to rioting or, you know, getting involved with the unholy rhetoric that we see a lot of people taking part of. Those are the type of things I would encourage you to be doing, and increase your Bible reading, increase your studying of the Bible, do it with your family, whether they want to hear it or not. If you're married and you have a family and you're a man and you're a Christian, it's your responsibility and your duty to not only to Christ, but to your family, to disciple them, to share the gospel, to explain the gospel, and to explain the things of the Bible to them. Those of you that have children, you are more blessed right now than some of us whose children are grown and may or may not ever be saved. You have the opportunity now to be discipling your children while it's legal, while you can, and you have access to them far more than the world should. Limit their television, limit their games, you know. And I would encourage everyone, if at all possible, do whatever it takes to homeschool your children. Don't send them to the government indoctrination centers. And that's basically what public school is today. I know several teachers in my area, and they tell me they're not allowed to actually teach. I'm good friends with a history teacher. He's not allowed to actually teach history. All his job is at this point is to teach them to pass these state mandated tests. Learning and teaching have basically gone out the window. They're nothing more than tutors for these tests, because that's how the school systems get their funding. And, you know, all of us know that no one's going to do anything to reduce their salary or reduce their funding or cause themselves to get laid off. They're going to do what they're told because that's their only source of income, you know. And I know there's biblical and non-biblical grounds within all of that. But that being said, as we can now, and it's legal and it's peaceful, you know, pursue whatever means that is legal in fighting back against what's coming and a lot of things that have already come. You know, sadly, when it comes to citizens of the United States, we're at the mercy of the government and we're at the mercy of the courts. We should realize by now we can't vote our way out of these problems. And the only answer we have left is the only one we ever needed to begin with, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. You know, folks, the reason that we wanted to kind of, it's not like we're trying to do a 2020 year in review, but there were two reasons that we wanted to kind of touch base on this issue tonight. Number one was, look at what happened over the course of the last year. Most of us, if we're being honest, realize something went way off course. And we can maybe articulate bits and pieces of it. One of the weird things that, Rich, you've seen this when I type stuff and put it on the internet, I'll get people that get excited that I said something, and it's like, well, I didn't say anything profound. I said what everybody else is saying. But there seems to be, when someone can encapsulate what we're all thinking into a solid set of points, we go, that's it. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's what we're trying to maybe help with this program tonight. There has been and will continue to be efforts to undermine what was once a very wonderful gift given to this nation, and it was the unique freedoms that it has. In my opinion, for all intents and purposes, that is gone. Whether God will one day allow that to return, no idea. That's his plans, his timing, his purposes. It doesn't mean, as you said, Rich, it doesn't mean that we don't fight against that which is evil. We should. We should make use of that privilege that we have while it's still available. But if you felt like this was, like it was a concentrated effort, you weren't wrong. It has been. And there is actual documentation that tells you how to do it, as Rich pointed out. And there are people who understand how it works because there are journalists who write about it. And there are past evidences of history where it's been done. And it's being done here. Why is that important to the Christian? Because, number one, you're living in it. You need to understand what's going on. And it's good to be informed because it helps you understand where you're at and what you're dealing with. And it helps you to make good decisions about how you're going to plan your future. Now, you may make your plans, but God guides your steps. He's sovereignly in control. But it helps you to know where you're going and what you're going to encounter and what decisions you should now make. Now, how do you make those decisions? Well, as Rich said, you got to pray. Get on your knees and pray. Not just the grace before the meal or the nighttime prayer before bed. Not the occasional, friend who's ill. But pray for God's wisdom, God's mercy. Pray that God would make you bold to stand, that you would preach the truth, and study the Word of God, and be informed about what God expects you, how to expect you to live. Because if the Republic is fallen, and we now get to live in Europe West, what do we have? We still have to live as Christians. That doesn't change. If all the freedoms are gone tomorrow, that doesn't change. We still have to live in this world. We don't get to hole up in a compound somewhere in central Montana. Sorry, Gene. but I had to pick a place. So we still have to live in this world. And so the Word of God equips you to do that. You need to be prepared. And you can only do that in the power of Christ. And there's another reason for this. And the final reason that we wanted to discuss this. We've talked about...
One more.
Oh, sorry. Well, okay. My final reason. Then one more for Rich. So my final reason. We talked about what happened with the evangelical elitism that's undermined the election, at least for the Christian. Obviously, that is only a small portion of the total number of votes. But there were those who went out of their way to be part of the narrative, part of the lie. And I'm going to get in trouble here. Some of those people were Russell Moore, Beth Moore, people like Rick Warren,
J.D. Greer.
I couldn't think of his name. My brain went, but J.D. Greer. Beth Moore. Ooh, we got to talk about her next week. I am shocked that woman has not blocked me. not that I look forward. By the way, don't wear it as a badge of courage when you get blocked. Sometimes we get blocked because we're just annoying. But what she said tonight, oh my. I think we're going to talk about that one next week. I bookmarked that tweet because I need to screenshot that tweet because Beth Moore, she likes to edit things and like her books. But people like that helped lay a foundation that bought into a false narrative, and they're leading Christians astray. And part of that false narrative is a construction to undermine the unique place that you live, this unique nation. Christians ought never to be part of that. Christians are people of truth. And that sometimes means we have to do a little extra legwork to find out what the truth really is. We need to quit being led around by our noses with our phones in our faces and responding. And we all do this. I'm guilty too of doing a hot take on a headline. And I've done it too, even recently. We've all done it. We need to do the extra work. We need to learn the truth. We need to look at all sides of a story before we comment sometimes. Some of them are very obvious. I'm not saying don't comment in general, but sometimes things aren't as clear as they once were. Like maybe this so-called insurrection. Oh, the guy the FBI just arrested that amazingly got out with no bail. How you do that? That's actually a known member of Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Was there in Trump gear and led people into the building. Wow. Hey, Russell Moore, you want to comment on that? Oh, no comment. How interesting. We need to be people of truth and not be led around by the emotional hot take. And we do it sometimes far too easily because it's a trending topic and we get incensed and we say something we shouldn't say and we create part of the problem instead of being part of the solution. So Christians, there is an effort to undermine our way of life. Now that's just going to happen. We live in a world that's sinful. America is not, guess what? This is going to shock some of my friends here. America is not special. Not in God's total plans. Some of you who are premillennial dispensationalists need to get your nose out of the headlines for America only and then turn around and look at the book of Revelation and Daniel and say, well, the rapture's coming tomorrow. Stop it. Because guess what? Around the world, they've been dealing with this stuff for decades and maybe even hundreds of years. And it's just now finally reached our shores. Now, why is it because it happens here, America, where suddenly now it's the end of days? Stop it. Okay? Knock that off. But we're not unique and special to God's plans. We're another nation that he has blessed in many ways. And his people are here. He has his remnant. He's got his 7,000 haven't bowed the knee to Baal. So guess what? We all need to quit acting like Elijah going, I'm the only one left. He's got his remnant. And we need to be faithful. We need to stand on his word. And we need to proclaim the truth. Because if 2020 has taught us anything, I've said this before, this is a rebellious, God-hating nation. And all you got to do is look at the last year. You can't believe that. If you can't see that, go look at the last year. This is a nation that hates God, hates Jesus Christ, has rebelled against him, and we are full on Romans 1. We are given over to a depraved and debased mind. How else do you get this amount of lunacy? God has given us over. So we got a mission, folks. And it ain't to win elections. It's to preach the gospel. It's to win souls. Because every one of those people out there that you look at and go, how can you believe such nonsense? It's because they've been given over to a debased mind. We got to be busy. And I'm guilty too. I've said this before. I'm guilty too. The bulk of me doing stuff for the Lord is here. It's in front of a microphone. It's me typing on a keyboard. I got to get out there and start putting gospel tracts in people's hands. We all got to do it. How much more evidence do we need? Are we going to sit in our homes twiddling our thumbs going, "How I can't believe we've lost it all. And we had so much influence. We had such a great nation." Or are we going to go out there and go, "My goodness, the Lord is judging this nation. His wrath is being poured out. We got to save people." If the building's on fire, you don't worry about the drapes, okay? You go save the bodies, right? Go save the bodies. Go save the souls. Stop buying into the narratives. Start preaching the gospel. Stop believing the elites who want to lead you into influencing culture because we want to be loving. You get in the Word of God, you bow your knee in prayer, you humble yourself before the Lord. And by the way, that means living a holy life even in a culture that's depraved. And then you get out there and you preach the Word. So that's my last point. Rich, what else did you want to say?
Here we go. My phone blipped and my note disappeared, but I now have it back, but just in conclusion and adding a little bit to what you said, we got to remember no person in a right mind welcomes pain or suffering. But when we do face an uncertain future, when we face most likely real persecution as Christians, when we face what may be coming, you know, besides sharing the gospel individually, there's one thing we must do, and we must follow the example Jesus Christ set when he prayed. He knew what was about to happen to him. He knew that the mob was coming to take him away. he knew he was going to be tortured and not disciplined, but whipped and everything that the Romans did to him. He knew all that was coming, but he prayed, not my will, but your will be done.
Amen.
And we need to submit to the Lord and his word and trust and have faith in his will and not our own, regardless of whether what's coming makes us uncomfortable or fearful. We need to put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ and him alone, because Amen. He will sustain us through no matter what may come on the horizon.
Amen. Amen. Folks, thanks for being with us. Again, thank you for your patience. Last week was one of those. Well, folks, I just don't wish that on anybody, and some of you guys have been going through that. By the way, Stephen Melenzen, we're praying for you. And if those of you who haven't seen it yet, pray for James White's daughter, Summer. She posted today that, well, she lost her child in the womb. Stephen Melenzen lost his father. This is tough times for a lot of people. And it's not just what's going on with the elections and all that. Some of us are going through difficult times. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for their pastors. People who have to minister to people who are hurting. Pray for them. My brother's right. We're going to go through difficult times. We have an amazing God, an amazing Savior. You put your eyes on him, you stay focused, and you be faithful, even in the worst of it. No idea what the future is going to hold for stuff like this. Who knows? I mean, we've seen people being removed. Twitter went on a purge, man. I mean, full on purge, despite what they claim. That was a full on purge. Who knows whether programs like Voice of Reason Radio will be allowed a presence on social media or in the internet. Just by way of reminder, we have a website. It is slavetotheking.com, and there's an RSS feed on there. It's actually right at the top of the page. Tells you where to do an RSS feed. You guys remember those? Little link that you throw into like an RSS reader for a blog, or drop into a podcast app, so you can draw. It could be before the days of things like Apple Podcasts, where you just automatically could find stuff. You remember RSS feeds? You might need to start looking for those again. Really recommend you go do that. In fact, you can subscribe on the website through email. If you cannot do it any other way, there's a link to subscribe. Everything that we do, whether it's a typed blog article, whether it's what I've started doing something called Thought for the Day. It's not a thought every day. It's not a daily thought. It's the thought for that day. Something that comes to mind. We may have to start frequenting websites again. We may have to start frequenting blogs again. We may have to subscribe to things. We may have to do a little extra work. If you find that this program is helpful, and by God's grace, we're able to continue to stay on the air, so to speak, consider subscribing. Consider bookmarking that RSS feed, putting it into your website or into your app browser or whatever it is that you're using. Get used to that possibility, because we are seeing the control of information being controlled by people who hate God. Okay? Who knows how much longer we'll even be able to do this on the internet? Because here's the thing. They can deplatform you social media. They can take you off. They can take away your apps. RSS feeds, a little bit harder to do. So you start pressuring Podbean. Hey, that Voice of Reason Radio, they said homosexuality is a sin. That's offensive. You need to get rid of them. By the way, homosexuality is a sin. Repent. Trust in Christ. Get saved. SlaveToTheKing.com/gospel. Go read the gospel. If you don't like what I just said, go read the gospel. Put pressure on Podbean. We could be dropped off of that. Google can remove us from their web crawler. You might not show up on their search engine. WordPress could one day be told, hey, Christian, you know, these Christians are preaching hate speech. Get them off your website. I mean, we see cancel culture exists. So I don't know how long that'll take. we're kind of small fry. There are bigger programs out there, but once a purge starts, how long does that take before even the small fries are gone? Don't know. So I would just encourage you, go subscribe on the website, slavetotheking.com. You will not miss anything. If they shadow ban us or ban us from social media, you won't miss it if it comes in your email. I don't remember if y'all remember what email's for other than signing up for accounts. But you won't miss it. It'll pop up in your email. You can play it right there. You can download it to your computer and you can... Do you guys remember iPods that actually didn't have internet connection and you would have to dump something into iTunes and then load it onto your iPod? You remember that technology that existed like 5 minutes ago? It's still there. You can still do it. I still have an iPod Classic I can do that with. We may have to do things like that. Subscribe. Be part of it. Share it if you can. Just because we may get shadow banned doesn't mean you guys can't share stuff. And it's not so we can grow our name. That's not what we're trying to talk about here. It's that if the pattern of behavior continues, this may be the only way Christians can get this information out, is by word of mouth, by sharing it, by email, by posting links. That may be the only way we can continue to do what we do.
Or we may end up having to go back burning DVDs and mail them to
you. Yep. And if that happens, I'd suggest we could probably do a GoFundMe and ask you guys to buy us, send us the money to buy the equipment. But GoFundMe will probably shut us down, so I don't know how that'll work. But the point being is that we may have to take different routes, but we can still do these things. We just may have to be more creative about it. So start with... Let's not be reliant on the things that are being used against us. Let's start being more proactive and being ready for potential interruptions, because we want this, we want to be able to continue to be a blessing to people. So if it blesses you, consider signing up through the website, slavetotheking.com, sign up and be part of the email chain. In the meantime, if this program is still being a blessing to you and we're not kicked off of anybody's, podcast things yet. We're still on the Apple Podcast. We're still on, as far as I know, we're still on Google Play. And by the way, if you listen to us on another platform like Pandora or something, and we disappear, would you let me know? There was 4 months that went by before somebody told me we got kicked off of Pandora. And it was because there were the way there, it had to do with, I had to put an author name in a particular blank. I didn't know that. If we disappear off the method that you use, would you tell me? I can fix it. There's real easy ways to fix some of that stuff. You got to let me know. But whatever method you use, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Google Play, whether it's Amazon Audible, we're on there. We're on Pandora. We're on, what was the other one we signed up for recently? I forget.
iHeart.
I think we're on iHeart. Oh, goodness, I forgot. Now I got to go look. It's under distribution apps. We're under Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We're on the Podbean. Spotify. Spotify is what we're on.
Oh, yeah.
And so, wow, they've added some more I didn't even know about. But we're on the Amazon Music / Audible. We're on there. You can find us. So, I mean, if you are being blessed and it's been helpful, or you disagree with us, I don't have a problem with negative reviews, by the way. I sometimes chuckle when I see the occasional one. But whatever your feeling is toward the show, if there's something you want to say about it, leave a review because it helps people. I don't know what your name is because you left initials with numbers. But on January 9th, we got a review, Rich. I think I shared this on social media from a DVN007. So Devin007, I'm guessing. And he gave us gave us a 5-star review. And said, Chris and Richard demonstrate logical thinking about issues from a biblical standpoint. That is really humbling. Thank you. Each show's content is thoroughly researched, and they leave no stone unturned. Highly recommend. Brother, thank you. Brother or sister, I don't know, because it doesn't give me a gender, which nobody is allowed to say what genders are anymore, so I guess that's the point. Anyway, Devin007, thank you That was very kind. You have no idea how humbling it is. And I'm not doing this to stump for more reviews. I wanted to share that because that was really kind of that individual to put that out there. If it helps, if you think we're helpful, or if you disagree with us, that's the point of a review. You give people an opportunity to let them know what you think. I don't have an issue with the negative. Now, if you take an issue with something we said, I'd love for you to contact us so we could talk about it. Maybe we said something incorrectly, or maybe we really did a bad job explaining it. I've had that happen. Some of y'all think I know how to talk. Dude, you don't want to spend 5 minutes in my head. It would scare you. But we may have said something incorrectly, or we used a bad example. We've done that before. So come talk to us first. You know, that would be nice to know. But the reviews help other people. That doesn't boost us in any way, shape, or form. It just gives people something to know that, hey, this may or may not be a good program. Joel Osteen, a good review would be, for example, Heretic Flee, 1 star. So, yeah, just saying. But they help people. They help people to know. So, subscribe. Go to slavetoking.com. Subscribe to it. We may find ourselves getting deplatformed, so maybe you guys would consider sharing the program. By the way, we are part of Christian Podcast Community. I know I say that a bunch of times, but we are. And a lot of good shows on there, and I really would encourage you to go listen. I mean, Apologetics Live, Andrew's thing that he does every Thursday night on YouTube. If you haven't watched that on Thursday nights on YouTube, what are you doing with your nights? Go watch. They had Justin Peters on there. Justin Pierce is one of the guys that does hit the show with Andrew. Chris Huff and Drew Vanita were on the show because they got to jump on and talk. Talk about an awesome discussion that they had. So many different questions having Justin Peters there. So good programs. You're going to benefit from them. Hey, by the way, if you like the podcast, Andrew's got one called How to Be a So You Want to Be a Podcaster. And guess what? You don't have to pay for lessons on being a podcaster. Andrew actually has a show that he'll teach you how to do that. Good shows that you'll benefit from. So that's a lot of intro stuff that I probably should have put at the beginning of the show. I put it at the end of the show, and by now you've probably turned me off. I'm sorry. Sorry, Andrew, I tried. folks, we really appreciate it. We really appreciate the time. We appreciate you listening to us. Heavy subject. A little disheartening at times. And you know what? Rich and I've had this conversation. There are times it's very disheartening. You don't see the text messages that go on between us sometimes. The frustration we feel. So we know what you're talking about. We're not all sunshine and rainbows, just like we seem to be on the show all the time. We do seem like sunshine and rainbows, right? We're never negative on the show, right?
Never.
But we feel it. We know what you're going through. We're doing it too. And we all need to work with each other going through this as the days and weeks and months and years unfold. We need to be loving one another, building each other up, strengthening one another, and using the gifts God's given us to fortify and build up this church. That's what God has given us to do. Do that and then get out there and preach the gospel to somebody. Come on, get to work. All right, guys, God bless you. We'll talk to you next time. See you then.